Okay, so I'm just going to read John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3, and this is a message about understanding the times we're in and the future. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Let's read the rest of this verse together from In My Father's House. Okay, let's read this together. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So this is what we as Christians should be looking forward to. We should be looking forward to Jesus coming again and receiving us to himself, welcoming us. And this is what this is talking about, an event which Christians now call the rapture. We are now eagerly waiting for the rapture. The word rapture is not found in the Bible, but the Greek word is harpazo. And we're going to look at the verse that mentions that next. And that word harpazo means to be caught up or seized away. So imagine you're in trouble and a helicopter comes over and someone, you know, reaches down with a rope or their hand and grabs you and rescues you from a dangerous situation. That's what it means. So let's look at the next verse. And this is where Paul explains about exactly how Jesus is going to come back and receive us to himself. So you can read this together with me if you like. It's from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 to 18. So feel free to read along. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Isn't that a good promise? Now, what we see here, Paul is writing this in a letter to his friends in Thessalonica, which is a city that's still there in Greece today. And this wasn't just Paul's thinking, this was the word of the Lord. So Jesus had spoken to him about this. So what this telling us is we need to be ready for Jesus to come back at any time. And if he comes back while we're still alive, okay, then we will not meet the Lord before. Precede means to come before someone. So if we're still alive, we're not going to meet the Lord before those who are asleep. Does anyone know what that word asleep means? You can call out.
Dead.
People who have died before us. So when a Christian dies, the Bible calls it going to sleep because their body is left behind and they go straight into the presence of Jesus. So when Jesus comes back to get us, those who have already died who are asleep are going to come with Jesus first. For the Lord himself... Jacob, could you just, Corey, could you fill me up with some water from the kitchen for me, please? So when Jesus comes back, he will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel. Does anyone know what an archangel is?
One of the in charge angels.
Yeah, it's like a leader, one of the top angels. And the Bible mentions three, Michael, Gabriel, and...
Raphael.
I think that's in a novel, but there is another one. I might come back to it. Anyway, that's a little thanks. That's a little homework for you. So an archangel is going to shout, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So that means everyone who's already died to heaven, their bodies are going to come and be made new first and rise to meet the Lord. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up, that word rapture in English, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Who would like to be able to fly?
I did this week, I went straight to Manor.
Most people. Okay. And this is, you know, we're not going to grow wings, but Jesus is going to catch us up so that we meet him in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And there's another good verse about this, that what's going to happen to us when we meet the Lord in the air. Can everyone remember how Jesus returned to heaven 40 days after he rose from the dead?
How
he returned to heaven?
He rose up in a cloud.
Yeah, Karen's been very quick off the mark here. So he went out to the Mount of Olives just outside Jerusalem with his disciples, and suddenly he lifted up off the ground and went up higher and higher and higher until he disappeared in the clouds. And then the angels, do you remember what the angels said to his disciples while they were still standing there thinking, where's he gone? Jesus?
In the same way he will return.
That angel said, hey, don't wait here. Go into Jerusalem. Wait for the Holy Spirit. Because in the same way that you saw him go, that's the way he's going to come back and get us. Okay? So that's why Paul is saying we're going to meet the Lord in the clouds in the air. Okay? But let's see what else and a wonderful thing that's going to happen when we meet the Lord in the air. This is Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 to 21. Read along with me if you want to. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. So what's going to happen when we meet Jesus in the air? Our bodies are going to be transformed. Tell the person next to you, you've got a lowly body.
Low level. On a Sunday morning.
But the good news is, our bodies are not going to stay lowly. You tell that person as well, but your body is going to be transformed to be like Jesus' glorious body. Some people might object, say, hey, I go to the gym every week. What do you mean calling my body lowly? But compared to what it's going to be like, all of our bodies here right now are lowly bodies. Okay, so let's look at another scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Again, read along with me if you like. Behold, I tell you a mystery. That's a secret that was hidden, but now. Okay, let's start again. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, that means die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. How many think that's good news? Okay, let's look at some of these words. A mystery is something that was secret, but now we're in on the secret. Okay, we shall not all sleep. That means some of us, some Christians are not going to die. Jesus is going to come back before we die. Okay, we shall all be changed. Who's Paul writing to?
Me.
At the beginning of this letter, 1 Corinthians, he says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and Lord Jesus and to all the saints. Some people think when they hear about the rapture and Jesus comes, oh, if I'm not living a holy life, that's a holy enough life, maybe I'll be left behind. What does Jesus say? We're all going to be changed. We're all going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. What matters is, do you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, not how you are living your life? It's that saving faith in Christ, okay? Because some people can get a lot under a lot of stress. But the Bible says we'll all be changed. How long is it going to take for us to be transformed?
Twinkling
of an eye, that's fast. And I think in the Greek it means like the smallest fraction of time you can have. Scientists measure the vibration of atoms and subparticles in atoms, and that's how they make atomic clocks. So it's that fast. You know, 1 minute I'm going to be, you know, if we're all still alive, I'll be looking at Karen, and the next minute, she's completely different. Body like Jesus. And she'll say for me, my grey hair will go.
We won't be married anymore.
Not after Jesus comes out. Marriage is then redundant. We'll all love each other as perfectly as it's possible to love each other. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
So what does corruption mean? Anyone tell me what the word corruption means? Yep.
Subject to death.
Subject to death. Things get bad. You get old. You get overweight. Or things stop working. You get all wrinkly. But this new body will not be corruptible. It will be incorruptible. That's that. And what does mortal mean? Does anyone know what mortal or immortal means? Yeah, some of these fantasy fiction books your younger ones read, you get these potions of immortality, don't you? It means you can't be killed. You know, you can't, you don't, you know, in Minecraft that's a very useful if you can't be killed. But this is telling us that when Jesus comes back, we're going to have bodies that cannot be killed. The death cannot conquer them. Isn't that wonderful? Tell the person next to you, this is cheering me up.
This is cheering me up.
Okay, so just to move on now, look, there is a difference, we're going to look at this now, there is a difference between the rapture, which we've been reading about, and the second coming of Christ. The prophet Isaiah prophesied more about the second coming of Christ than the first coming of Christ. And the rapture of the saints is not mentioned in the Old Testament, okay? But you can see examples of it in Enoch. Enoch got taken up by God, he didn't die. Can anyone think of anyone else in the Old Testament that didn't die? Pardon? No?
Elijah.
Elijah got caught up to God. They couldn't find his body because God took him up. So there are examples of it in the Old Testament. As we've learned earlier, the rapture is a mystery that was kept hidden in the Old Testament, even to the prophets. Now look at this diagram. So we saw this is Joseph Prince has produced this diagram. So we're here at the moment. So where the dotted line is, and things are getting bad at the moment, aren't they? We've got a war going on, we've had a COVID, we've had energy bills going up, some people, there's drought and famine in different parts of the world. In East Africa, there's a bad famine. But that is not the tribulation that's talked about in the book of Revelation. How many of us have read the book of Revelation all the way through? Put your hand up if you've read the whole of the book of Revelation from cover. That's a good proportion of us. That's good. And there's a blessing. God says you are blessed if you read the words of this book and you hear the words and if you take them to heart. So some Christians at the moment are getting worried because of all the bad things. They're thinking, oh, are we in the tribulation? Is the tribulation starting? And what we see, and we'll look at a couple of other scriptures as well, is no. We're looking forward to Jesus coming back for the rapture. And after that will be this seven-year tribulation that you read about in the book of Revelation. It's talked about in the book of Daniel and in the Old Testament quite a bit. And at the end of those 7 years, Jesus is going to come back with us. So the rapture, Jesus comes back for us. His feet don't touch the earth. We meet him in the air, and he takes us to be with him. 7 years later, he comes back with us. And you read about that in the book of Revelation as well. And that's what the Bible, and particularly the Old Testament, calls the day of the Lord. And then, when Jesus comes back, he lands on the earth, and he reigns for 1,000 years, and we reign with him. So, let's just look at a couple of scriptures here. After the rapture happens, the 7 years of tribulation will begin. And then, after that, the second coming of Christ will usher in the millennial rule of Christ. Millennial means 1,000 years. As believers born again in Christ, we are not looking forward to the appearance of the Antichrist. Some Christians, if you go online and YouTube, you'll find lots of stuff. Oh, is this person the Antichrist? Is the Antichrist here? Don't waste your time watching all that stuff. We are. Remember that scripture we read earlier on? We are eagerly awaiting, our citizenship is in heaven, and we are eagerly awaiting the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not eagerly awaiting the Antichrist, we're eagerly awaiting the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? We are looking forward to seeing him. Now look at this verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. You can read this with me if you want. This is an introduction to the letter to the Thessalonians that we read earlier on, later on. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. What's the wrath to come? It's particularly this stuff that you can read, all the bowls and the plagues in the book of Revelation. There's some pretty bad stuff going to happen in the future. But Jesus delivers us from that. Our position as Christians right now is to wait eagerly for the Son to return, because he will deliver us from the wrath to come, the 7 years of tribulation. So the rapture is not the second coming of Christ. God reserves no judgment for the born-again believer whose sins have been forgiven and put away in Christ. This is what Jesus said about whether we're going to face the kind of judgment that's coming on those who reject Jesus Christ at the end of the world. Let's read this together if you want to. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. There are many false teachings about how we're already in the beginning stages of the 7 years of tribulation, but it is essential that we know that the times we are in, so that our hearts are not troubled or sorrowful by what is untrue. We are not in the 7 years of tribulation, we are waiting the rapture. While the world may be in a dark place right now, God is bringing light out of this darkness. Light shines brightest when things are darkest. The glory of the Son, Jesus Christ, shines brightest in a time of darkness. And that scripture in Isaiah says, "Behold, deep darkness shall cover the people, but the glory of the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you, and the people will come to your light." So that's our job right now. No matter how bad things get this winter, you know, we'll have a new Prime Minister on Tuesday. We need to pray for them, because I wouldn't fancy the job they've got to deal with right now. But our job as Christians is to look to Jesus, eagerly wait for him to come back again. And when people are getting panicking, we can let the light of Jesus shine into their darkness and say, "Hey, I know someone who's going to look after me. I'm not afraid of the future. I know where I'm going. I know Jesus is going to come and rescue me." And you can know him too. We can rest in God's faithfulness. We've been singing about that this morning. Even out of this pandemic, God can and wants to bring forth sweetness for you and your family. So Joseph Prince was mentioning in that message we watched last week about even out of COVID, God can bring good. We can trust him to do that. Now let's just quickly finish off by looking at this scripture. Jesus preached. In Luke chapter 4, it records Jesus going into a synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth, and he opens the scroll, because that's how the Bible was back then. They only had the Old Testament. He opened the scroll to Isaiah chapter 61, and this is what he read from Isaiah 61. You can read along with me if you want. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. Now what's interesting, when Jesus read this, is he deliberately stopped reading halfway through a sentence. He deliberately left out the last part of Isaiah chapter 61, verse 2. So where it says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, if you read that in Isaiah, it carries on. The sentence finishes by saying, "and the day of vengeance of our God." Now Jesus doesn't do anything by accident, particularly when he's publicly reading from the Bible to a big crowd of people. So we need to understand, why did Jesus stop there? Because there is a pause in history. Right there. The word acceptable is the Greek word dektos. It refers to a time when God's favour profusely, that means a lot, abounds. God's favour is overflowing. The word in Hebrew that Jesus would have read in Isaiah 61 is ratzon, which also means favoured. So the reason Jesus stopped there is because since his death and resurrection, we are still in the time of the acceptable year of the Lord, where the free favours of God are overflowing to everyone who will turn to Jesus. Okay? This era will come to an end when the rapture happens. So when the rapture happens, the rest of Isaiah 61 verse 2, the day of the vengeance of our God will come in. And that's when God starts to judge and punish people who have rejected Jesus. They've had opportunities to turn to Jesus and they've rejected him. Having the blessed hope of the rapture purifies us to live a life that honours God. You can read about that in the book of 1 John. In 2 Thessalonians, the believers in Thessalonica had a different problem. So this is another letter Paul wrote. The first letter explained the mystery of the rapture. The second letter Paul wrote because the Thessalonians were convinced by false teachers that the rapture had happened and they were left behind in the beginning stages of the day of the Lord. And let's read together what Paul wrote to these Christians in the second letter of 2 Thessalonians. You can read with me if you want. "Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers and sisters, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by the teaching allegedly from us." Stop there. So some people said Paul is telling everyone the rapture's happened and you guys weren't good enough Christians. You've been left behind and now you're going to have to suffer all the punishment that God's going to send on the world. Paul's saying that's not true. So let's read. So not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by the teaching allegedly from us, whether by a prophecy or by a word of mouth or by letter. asserting that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. And that's talking about the Antichrist. The Bible does say there will be a person who will rule over the world in the last days, who will set himself in opposition to God, and all the people of the world who've rejected Jesus will say, yeah, we want to follow you, we want you to be our leader. And what Paul's saying here is the day of the Lord, that's the second coming of Christ. Remember that diagram? You've got the rapture, 7 years, then the second coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ will not come until the Antichrist is revealed. Okay? So the Antichrist has not been revealed yet, and therefore we are not living in the times of the beginning stages of the day of the Lord, or the tribulation, or the mark of the beast. Someone sent me a video this week, a link on YouTube, all about the mark of the beast. They were asking me to comment on it. Well, for Christians, we don't need to be worried and stressed about all that stuff. It will happen as described in the book of Revelation, but that we're not going to be involved. Such teachings always instill fear and cause people to live in turmoil. Right teaching will always deliver you from fear. When Jesus himself spoke about the signs of the times, he always said, do not be afraid, do not be terrified. Luke 21. That's when Jesus was talking about the last days. Whereas for the unbeliever looking into the future, there is definitely a sense of fear. Now, Greta Thunberg thinks the world's going to end in about 10, 20 years, but it's not. God says, harvest, springtime and harvest will continue right up until the end. So these people who think global warming is going to cause extinction of the whole race in our lifetimes, they're wrong. They're just panicking because but things are going to get bad for those who reject Christ. For the born again believer, that's us, who God freely gives his favour and grace to and abundantly, we can expect goodness and mercy to pursue me. We've been singing that, haven't we? Goodness is running after me. Your goodness is running after me. Okay? You are safe in the Lord's hiding place. Tell the person next to you, you are safe in God's hiding place. God does not deal with you based on your sin, but based on what Christ has done in your place. Now, after the rapture, when we've all been taken, all the believers have been taken to be with the Lord, God will then start dealing with the people who are left according to their sin. They've rejected Jesus' free gift, so he will start giving them a foretaste of what it will be like if they continue to reject the Lord. So we need to know that God is not judging the world, but is inviting all to be reconciled to him. And we've been praying together this week. Some of us prayed together for our family members that don't yet know the Lord. And that's what our job is right now. When you hear wrong teaching about how you are no longer living in the acceptable year of the Lord, it can cause you to take on a judgment perspective. And you can begin to look at God as a stern judge over the world. You might hear Christians saying, oh, this has happened because God is judging this country, or he's judging this person, or he's... Well, that's not what God's doing yet. It will happen in the future, but right now, the bad things that are happening in the world are a result of man's sin, selfishness, and greed. God didn't force Putin to invade Ukraine. I'm sure it's demonic spirits giving him these crazy ideas that made him think he had to do that. Scripture shows us that this is not the case. So let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This will tell us that God is not judging the world at the moment. God is being good to this world, and our job is to help people discover this about God. So you can read this with me. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. You can read this with me if you like. This is your current job description. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So we're ambassadors from God. So your friends at school, your work colleagues, your neighbours, wherever you meet people of peace, We are representing to God. And our message from God is be reconciled to God. That means be friends with God. God wants to be friends with you. Will you please be friends with God? That is not judgment. That is not condemnation. That is not, you know, that is not what God is doing. What God is doing is he's reconciling people to himself while we still have time before Jesus returns. And the good news is that God made Jesus, who knew no sin, he was perfect, to be sin on the cross for you and me, so that we might be made, the King James Version says, the righteousness of God in him. That means our spirits are perfect in God's eyes. Tell the person next to you, God's made my spirit perfect through trusting in Jesus. So let's just unpack this a bit. So this phrase here, God is not imputing the sins of the world to them yet at the moment. Some have said that God is judging certain countries because of the various circumstances that are happening in these countries. But here we see that God is not imputing people or countries' sins to them. In fact, God has committed to us a ministry of reconciliation because we are not in the day of his vengeance yet. So God is not counting your sins against you because he has counted them against Jesus at the cross. So now you can be reconciled. This is the good news we're called to tell people. But let's pray that this week we'll have an opportunity to tell this to some people. The world needs to hear this message. I think this is the last slide. God is not mad at you. Be reconciled to him. Become friends with God before it's too late. God's heart is to reconcile all people to himself, and that they would know that God is not angry at them, but God loves them. Because of the pandemic, many churches have gone online, allowing anyone to access a church service who wants to. And the message of this good news, people can hear it without even entering a physical building, church building. Now, we have the opportunity to share this good news with someone that we know, whether it's a work colleague, a school friend, a family member. Evangelism means good news being shared. And the good news is that God is not angry at you, but he loves you and he wants to be friends with you. He wants to be reconciled to you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Just quickly, any questions or comments? Jonathan, if you could stop recording, please. Any comments or questions before we move on to take communion?